All right, welcome into the fourth hour of the game. Blitz Rider 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and our dear friends at Natural Playmakers Academy. We're going to eat till midnight tonight. Big Kenny behind the glass, Elijah Campbell with us as well tonight. A lot of fun as we do at the top and bottom of the hour. Scoreboard time. All right, here we go. Blackman over Siegel, 20-14. Brentwood leads over Centennial, 15-7. Gallatin trails Clarksville 21-7. Springfield over Clarksville Northwest 35-0. Gordonsville over Clay County 7-6. Coffee County over Wake County 28-0. Cookeville leads Shelbyville 27-14. DeKalb County 21. Stowe Memorial 7. FRA 45. Goodpasture 7. Nolensville over Franklin County 6-0. Mount Juliet leads Green Hill 13-12. That game in the third quarter. Ravenwood over Independence. That game is now 38-7 in the fourth quarter. Laverne over McGavick 14-7. That's in the fourth quarter. Creekwood leads Lawrence County 27-0. Lebanon over Warren County 21-0. Lewis County over Riverside 7-0. Marshall County leads Greenbrier 21-7. MBA up over Knoxville Catholic, I think it's 49-10 in that game, fourth quarter. Running clock has been issued. Nashville Christian over DCA 42-7. Smyrna over Overton, 42-6. Rockbell just scored, but Oakland still leads 42-7. Page over Lincoln County, 38-3. Henry County over Portland, that game is 40-0. Loretto over Richland, 21-19. Stewart's Creek over Riverdale, 14-7. Smith County leads East Nashville, 15-14. Station Camp over Hunter's Lane, 31-0. Sycamore over Joe Burns, 20-0. Tullahoma over Glencliff, 21-0. Trousdale County 21, Watertown 7. And our first final of the night, Elijah, Waverly defeats Fairview 33-22. Wow. They win the region championship. West Creek over Hendersonville 24-14. Westmoreland over Harpeth 49-7. White House over White House Heritage 30-0. And that is your game blitz update as of right now. So congratulations to Waverly, Elijah. They take home the region championship. That's a big win for them.
That is significant. It not only caps off a historic season for running back Easton Elliott, but it's a full circle story there for this team to go through what they went through last year, turn it around, and win a region title. It's pretty significant, and they are going to be paired with Region 5, which means they will be playing whoever wins the Jackson County Stratford game tonight in the first round of the playoffs.
Man, there's just so much still. I mean, it's 9 o'clock, and there's coming down to the nitty gritty. It still hasn't been decided, so that's crazy the way it's going to happen right now. So I thought this was funny, not funny, but Mount Juliet Police put out a traffic alert for those leaving the Green Hill Mount Juliet football game tonight. They just follow Mount Juliet Police on Twitter, and they've got this whole new traffic pattern and exiting system they've got over at the high school, which I love because that means there are thousands and thousands and thousands at this high school football game tonight, which we love here on the Game Blitz.
I love that it's necessary. It has become necessary to give a traffic alert. I can imagine, and Junie did a really good job of kind of painting that picture earlier about just how raucous the environment is, the emotions behind that game right now. And the fact that it was a 1-point game going into the second half, is delicious. That's good. It's going to end for some really good high school football. So that's good stuff. Great for that rivalry. And someone's going to get the Mayor's Cup tonight, along with a region championship. You're winning two trophies in one night.
That's
almost
right.
Like a BOGO deal, but for high school football.
You do. Your upper Cumberland family, Opperman leads Livingston Academy 56-7, and Macon County over Cumberland County 44-0. Is that region been decided yet? Is Macon County and Opperman same division? Or am I losing my mind?
They are. They are. Yeah, you're losing your mind, or at least not yet. I mean, we're all slowly getting there. But as of going in tonight, there's a 3-way tie for first between Upperman, Macon County, and Stone. So the real wild card here is, does Stone erase that 14-point deficit? Last time we checked, they were down 21-7 to DeKalb County, who lost to Upperman just last week. I was talking to our guy, Noah McKay, from the Upper Cumberland Reporter, and he kind of went on the assumption that Macon County and Upperman are both going to beat Cumberland and Livingston tonight, which they are. So now that means if Stone wins the region, Upperman second, Macon third, DeKalb fourth. But if the score holds and DeKalb County holds on to win this game, Upperman is first. They'll be the region champs. Macon County second will host a first round playoff game, rounded out by DeKalb County and then Stone.
The Macon County game just went final. Let's go back to the phone lines, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, our man Junie Riddle at the Mount Juliet Green Hill game. Junie, what you got?
Guys, a lot is still going on, even though the score is still a little bit stagnant. Green Hill started off receiving the ball in the second half, and they did nothing but just drive all the way down the field. Unfortunately, there was a fumble after a 10-plus yard gain by the running back, Brax Lambert, that gave the ball back to Mount Juliet. Mount Juliet got the ball, and they did not start off slow like they did in the first half. Drove all the way down the field, a little bit of pass, a little bit of RPOs, but continuing with the run game to their big running back, Darius Morton. They got into a 4th-and-1 situation, which was a little bit of a questionable positioning there. It looked like he may have had the first down, but they called him short on 4th-and-1, and then the unexpected really did happen, guys. On 4th-and-1, they were lining up, going for a QB sneak, trying to push Tyler Travers through to get the first down, and the refs threw a flag. Sideline violation that bumped them back from a 4th-and-1 on the 4-yard line of Green Hills. They ended up lining up for a field goal attempt that was missed. Then Green Hill got the ball back, didn't do much on offense, and now they are punting the ball back to Mount Juliet with about a minute 13 left in the third quarter, guys. The defenses are really stepping up here, and if I'm going to be honest with you guys, it's not just because I'm sitting on the Mount Juliet side. There have been some questionable calls all night on Mount Juliet that have really stalled some of their drives, and the fans are not hesitant showing their displeasure towards the referees. I will tell you that.
Wow. So I want to go revisit, Junie, the 4th-and-1 with a sideline violation. I mean, that one's an interesting one because it's one of those penalties in which you would expect the procedure to be there is a verbal warning given and also announced that there is a sideline warning given and the next violation does result in a penalty. But my first question is, did they give a sideline warning verbally or at least out over the PA at any point that you could tell? And then on the play that actually happened where they called the infraction, did you notice anything on the sideline that might have kind of warranted any kind of penalty being thrown?
Guys, I'm being honest with you. I didn't hear the warning from the PA announcer. That could be a Green Hills home field advantage, and nor did I see anything. Mm-hmm. Now my line of vision is looking at the field of play, and where they called it was not in my field of vision here. But it didn't seem like it was too much. But the head coach over here for Mount Juliet definitely showed his displeasure. You could see visibly that Coach Perry was livid after that call. So I think, like I said, I didn't hear a warning go over the PA, so he might have some validation in that frustration that he unleashed after that, and it actually cost him another flag because of his reaction. The refs are really, really not holding on to the flag tonight, guys. I'm just being honest.
Well done. Junie, call us back in the fourth quarter because, man, it sounds like it's going to be fantastic. Thank you, brother.
Absolutely, guys. We're set up for a good ending here. I'll call back when I got more.
Love it. Junie Riddle, that at the Mount Juliet Green Hill game. Let's go back to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises and our man Lance. We have lost him, but I did get an update. McGavick scored, and they try to kick an extra point, and they fumbled the snap. So Laverne leads 14-13. Imagine not going to the playoffs because you fumbled the extra point snap. Ugh.
Oh, no. I'm getting shades of Tony Romo in my head where he fumbles the snap or whatever because he has to hold it. And
right.
He's holding his face mask or whatever after that game. I still remember that play.
That was a vividly. Playoff game, right?
Lifetime Dallas Cowboy hater.
Wasn't that a playoff game?
It was. It was like, I think it was a wild card game. Yeah. In Seattle on the road. But man, you would hate for that play to be what comes back and haunts you. But Mount McGavick doing things that really good football teams do. That is take some first half adversity and come out stronger and better. Lance told us the last time that he was on, they were going more up tempo with it. And it seems like that offensively, that's been the plan. They're increasing their margin for error, running more plays, tiring out the defense, limiting substitutions. I like that strategy moving forward. And even though you're only down one, I still kind of like that strategy moving forward. I know so a lot of coaches would like to use the clock to melt it down, but if they have a hard time keeping up with that tempo, I would like at least the assurance that I'm going to be able to score. So I kind of expect McGavick to do that the rest of the game, and that's going to be a fun ending.
All right, I got a friend at the game who's texting me, and I got the little – all right, Lance, back. Let's go back to the Elijah Campbell.
We got him.
Phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Lance, what you got?
What's up, guys? Yeah, so I sorry, you lost me there for a second.
We didn't lose anything.
We had a
just our minds.
McGavick score a touchdown, and then on a bad snap, ended up missing the extra point. It was 14-13. After another three and out, Laverne just drove the length of the field to score a touchdown, went for two, did not get it. McGavick is up 19-14 with a minute 50 left.
Oh, my goodness. How did they get the ball back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They got him to punt. They were trying to drain the clock out. It was a three and out. They punted it away. And the senior quarterback that has offers for a few D1 schools is actually out for Laverne. So they have their number two quarterback in. So we'll see what they'll be able to do here with two timeouts and a minute 40 left.
All right, man. Call us back when you can. All right. Thank you.
Wow.
I will. Wow. And boy, so McGavick up 19-14, a minute 50 left in the game. As we've documented throughout the night, winner of that game goes to the playoffs. The losing team is headed to the offseason there. Man, that's a – boy, that's why I'm not a coach, Elijah. I can't do all that. I can't I'm already bald anyway, but I can't all that goes on and the excitement, everything. No, man, that's tough.
You're already bald. What goes next is the cardiovascular health. That's kind of where it all goes down from there. I couldn't do that either. But I mean, this is if McGavick's able to hold on, the coaching job and the resilience by the players, kind of Fred Burnett and his bunch, is astonishing. Like that. I mean, it's so easy to just be like, go into the halftime down two touchdowns and be like, wow, well, great season. I mean, we let that one slip away, and it's easy to let that doubt kind of creep in. And I mentioned before the show that if this game is really close going into the last quarter with the way McGavick's had their last few weeks, maybe that doubt creeps in and it affects their play. Well, they face that adversity much earlier on in the first quarter of this game, getting down by two touchdowns. And instead of tightening up, it sounds like they've played a lot looser. They're playing with tempo. I mean, they're playing like maybe it's not the game of the year to get you into the playoffs or send you home after the season. Like that's a testament of how well of a coach team they are and just how old of a team they are too. They got a lot of experienced players. This is a time where that really kicks in, and you're seeing it right now. So a big, minute and a half, minute some change left in that game. And we'll see who gets to go participate and hang out with us next week.
Let's see real quick here. I'm sorry. Stone Memorial scored DeKalb County on leads 21-14. That game in the fourth quarter now.
Whoa. Oh, man. So, yeah, like we mentioned earlier in the segment, if Stone wins, they're the region champ with Macon County and Upperman both winning tonight. They lose. Well, they're going on the road to play a one seed East Hamilton team in Chattanooga. So two different fortunes for this team this last quarter.
Where'd it go? I saw it. I just had it here. Oh, by the way, Stewart's Creek and Riverdale tied at 14. That game also now into the fourth quarter. So there's a lot of these huge games that are coming now. Mount Juliet Green Hill, McGavick Laverne, Stewart's Creek, Riverdale that's going right now, Smith County and East Nashville that's happening, Richland Loretto. All these games are one possession games right now in the fourth quarter, all with playoff implications on the line.
Wow. So, yeah, if Riverdale ends up beating Stewart's Creek, that puts three teams at 2-3 in that region 4, 6A. That would mean Riverdale's 4-6. Stewart's Creek is 6-4. Riverdale would be 6-4. Rockvale would then be the odd team out. And then with Riverdale and Stewart's Creek both being 2-3, it'd be the head-to-head winner would get the third spot, which would be Riverdale if they're able to be the ones who win that game. So that's what's on the line for Stewart's Creek and Riverdale.
Final, Nashville Christian puts the hammer down on DCA. They win 42-7, and I'm with you. That is I thought it'd be like 21-14, 21-17, but Nashville Christian, boy, they put it on DCA tonight.
Yeah.
They did. All right, let's take another break.
Statement win.
It is a huge statement win. All right, Elijah, don't go anywhere. We got more Game Blitz coming your way. We'll try to get some of these coaches on tonight, these games in the fourth quarter. Lot of excitement and drama that's happening right now on the Game Blitz, so don't go anywhere. We got you till midnight. Game Blitz brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here at 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106 for the Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. Since we took the break 3 minutes ago, we've had more chaos that's come down the line. Elijah, Smith County has beat East Nashville 15-14 in an exciting game in a packed house. My goodness, right there. It's Riverdale now leads Stewart's Creek 26-14, 5 minutes to go in the game. There, Mount Juliet just blocked a field goal. They ran it back. They lead Green Hill right now 19-12. All that's happened in the last 3 minutes during the commercial break that's going on now. Just crazy right there. But congrats to Smith County. I mean, East Nashville has been on a roll all year long, but Smith County got the win tonight by a point, 15-14. Big win for Smith County.
1 point, and they're region champs. I mean, all year long, like in my head, the way East Nashville has played, because I mean, they have ran a gauntlet of a non-region schedule and have some of the more impressive wins that any 3A team will ever have. I mean, they schedule up significantly, and just in the last 2 weeks, Riverdale finally lost a game, and Smith County's no joke. Now, while Smith County hasn't had many of the signature non-region games, I mean, their non-region schedule this season so far consisted of a loss at DeKalb County in a thrilling game in week two earlier, but Gordonsville, a potential 1A region champ, they beat them by 3 touchdowns. They shut out Westmoreland, had to go in the Eastern time zone to beat Walker Valley, and then blew out some of the other teams at the bottom of the district, and even beat Macon County, who's been one of the better teams in 4A. All season long, too. They've quietly been hanging around the top of Region 5, and they got that one shot they get to play East Nashville and steal a region title, because it's almost been assumed that East Nashville is the best team, the cream of the crop in that region, because they're the cream of the crop in 3A. For like 4 weeks, they're the only undefeated team in all of 3A. And Smith County knocked them off. That's a shocker for me. That's a really big shocker, and hats off to the Smith County Owls for being able to make the run that they have. And they're going to be playing, it looks like Sycamore in the first round of the playoffs.
Columbia Academy won tonight over Franklin Grace 14-0. I think that gets Columbia Academy into the playoffs, if I do my calculations correctly, which are usually always wrong, but I might be correct here.
Yes, going into tonight, say it's Columbia Academy?
Yes, sir.
Or Clarksville. I get Clarksville and Columbia Academy mixed up so much.
That's okay.
You'd be correct, because both those teams heading in tonight were 1-3 in middle region in D2-1A. So if only the top 1, 2, 3, 4 get in, because all three of the private school classifications do things a little differently. If only the 4 get in that region, then that would eliminate Franklin Grace, and that would put Columbia Academy in.
Well, I mean, it's just a lot of these games that went down that way. We need to effort our man Lance. I'm going to try to get an update on the McGavick and Laverne game. I got another friend there who's texting me nonstop. Let's see what I've got a text from him. 11 seconds left in the game. McGavick up by 5. I'm texting on the air here like a 15-year-old. Who has the ball, buddy? All right, so we'll see.
Updates.
Hey, man, we got to get our – you know, it's funny, and I'll tell you this now. When I started out doing this, when I started my television career at Channel 2, I would call – you know, we didn't have Twitter, didn't have the internet basically for scores. I would call the sheriff's department, and they would radio a sheriff at the game who would radio the score back to them, would give me the score, so I'd have the score going on TV. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that's brilliant. That's a really good way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sure that worked so efficiently.
It did. Oh, we got a final. McGavick wins 19-14. They're headed to the playoffs. Wow.
Woo. Playoff bound. The Fighting Joe Dubins. Their season does not end tonight. What a win.
I gave him a pep talk, and I said, look, boys, Do it for the old guys. And they did it tonight. My birthday was this week, too, so it won. By the way, Clarksville.
Well, happy birthday, Joe.
Thanks, Pumpkin. I didn't get your present yet, but we still got another 3 hours to go on the show.
It's right in the mail. Here. You know how the USPS is.
I do. There's another score. Oh, by the way, Clarksville Academy did win tonight. They beat Major League Christian 49-13. Does Clarksville Academy get in now?
They were ahead of Columbia Academy. They were ahead of Columbia Academy by a game. They were 2-2 in that region. Poor MJCA will finish 0-5 in region play. So the win for Clarksville Academy puts them at 3-2 in region play for the season overall. Columbia Academy's win over Franklin Grace puts them 2-3. Franklin Grace falls to 1-4.
By the way, Lipscomb Academy beat BGA 70-0. Did you see that story about Trent Dilfer about woe is me? Everybody hates him because he's winning or something. I will reserve my thoughts on that. But if you read the Twitter thread, a lot of people came at Dilfer on that and basically said, you know, it's not that nobody doesn't like you, but stop this woe is me stuff that's going on.
Yeah, and my thing is, I need to listen to the interview so I can get the voice context. I feel like sometimes that makes up a lot of, like, how something's said is almost as important as what is said.
Yes, sir.
So I hold some reservation there, but to me personally, like, it'll fall on deaf ears if it's just complaining, because you have every advantage in the book. You have a lot of advantages. Lot of advantages. They can poach from a lot of the public schools here in the area. So, like, the world's tiniest violin treatment.
Right.
But, I mean, I still don't want to take away from what they do. I mean, that's a buzzsaw. I mean, they're the most in terms of dominance over yours, that much better than everybody else. Like, that's them. They're the picture. Them and Oakland are the pictures of dominance in, you know, their classifications. Why even care about the stuff? Why even care about what people say when you're that good? I mean, if I'm that good at anything, you can say whatever you want to me.
I totally agree. Yep, and that's my thoughts. And if you don't like him, I really don't care. All right, we'll take a break. We give you the complete scoreboard update at the top and bottom of every hour. We got that coming up next. We're right here on the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. And we got scores flying here left and right. Big Joe here alongside Big Kenny behind the glass, Elijah Campbell making it happen. As we promised you at the bottom and top of every hour, scoreboard update. All right, here we go. Scores that are coming in fast and furious we got right now. Lipscomb over BGA 70-0. Blackman over Siegel 20-14. Centennial trailing Brentwood 15-7. Final Cheatham County over Stewart County 29-9. Late fourth, Clarksville over Gallatin 28-7. Clarksville Academy final over Major League Christian 49-13. Springfield over Northwest 42-0. Coffee County over Ray County 28-0. Columbia beat Spring Hill 23-14, Cookville over Shelbyville 27-14, final CPA over Davidson Academy 41-0, FRA final over Good Pasture 45-21, Nolensville Franklin County, it's 6-0 Nolensville, the game in the fourth quarter, last score. Wow. I got, that is a crazy score if that's what's happening right now, because it's a high powered offense. All right, Columbia Academy beats Franklin Grace 14-0. Mount Juliet now is up over Green Hill 26-12. That's 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Adamsville over Hickman County 48-13. Wilson Central beats Hillsboro 45-14. Ravenwood over Independence 38-7. McGavick beats Laverne 19-14. They're headed to the playoffs. Creekwood beats Lawrence County 36-0. That score just came in. Lebanon over Warren County 21-7. Upperman beats Livingston Academy 63-7. Final, Macon County beats Cumberland 44-0. Marshall County over Greenbrier 28-7. MBA beats Knoxville Catholic 56-24. You'll like this score, Elijah. Pearl Cone beats Montgomery Central 43-2.
43-2, we have Scoregami, Joe Duba.
Love it. Nashville Christian with a statement win tonight over DCA 42-7. Oakland beats Rockville 49-7. Henry County over Portland 47-0. Richland over Loretto 33-28. Riverdale over Stewart's Creek 26-14. Summit beats Franklin 34-21. Station Camp over Hunter's Lane 38-0. Smith County over East Nashville 15-14.
No!
Tullahoma beats Glen Cliff 49-0. Trialsdale County over Watertown 21-7. Waverly beats Fairview 33-22. Wayne County over Collinwood 35-8. West Creek over Hendersonville 24-14. Westmoreland beats Harpeth 49-7. White House over White House Heritage 30-0. And Baylor beats Ryan 38-21. That is your scoreboard updates. Elijah Campbell, thoughts?
Wow. First things first, is the Trousdale and Watertown final?
It is a final, correct.
Oh, we have some chaos, Joe Dubin, because now the last three teams, so that puts Trousdale County at 2-8. However, those two wins all came in the region. So with that being said, we have Trousdale, Harpeth, Watertown all at 2-3. Harpeth at 6-4 is going to get the tiebreaker over Watertown. They will be the three seed. Watertown will be, wow. So by that logic, Trousdale stole a spot from Watertown in the playoffs with that win tonight.
Oh, that hurts my head. Oh, another score just came in real quick. Stratford beats Jackson County.
We're just kidding.
28-19. Does that get Stratford in?
Mm-hmm. That gets Stratford in. That is win number one in the region. That gets Stratford in. Also, I misspoke. They did not steal a spot. Watertown still has it because of the three-way tiebreaker rule. They don't go to it. Yeah, I misspoke. So they didn't steal a spot. Watertown in Trousdale County almost played spoiler. But yes, with Stratford winning tonight, both those teams were 0-3 in Region 5-3A, the region that Smith County won tonight. So with that, Stratford, I will put in the playoffs here on my spreadsheet. Very organized operation we're running here.
It is, right?
Which means Stratford not only make the playoffs, they will have to make the trip to Waverly in the first round. Waverly will play Stratford. East Nashville will play White House. Fairview will get a visit from Maplewood. So that is your first round playoff matchups between Region 5 and Region 6 of 3A.
I love it. Let's go back to the phone line brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Lance Mackey on the phone. He was covering the McGavick-Laverre game. Lance, what you got, man? We know McGavick won. What a game tonight, huh?
Oh, yeah. That was an awesome game. I mean, Laverne was up 14-0, 19 unanswered points for McGavick. And when I talked to Coach Burnett earlier today, he said the message all week was whatever it takes. And, you know, clearly that rang through for the team and for those Raiders. And that was a great comeback win, and it was a really, really exciting finish there.
Are you in your car?
I am.
Okay, we sent a note out that all reporters have to stay on site till at least 11. So we're going to dock you.
Okay, I'll get back out.
We're going to dock you pay. Hey, what was it like that last drive, Laverne?
You turn right now.
Laverne going down the field to try to win this game. What was that last minute and a half like?
Well, like I was telling you before, Javon Drake, the starting quarterback, was out on the sidelines, so they had their backup in. They had two timeouts to work with. They were kind of dinking and dunking down the field, but, I mean, they had a chance at a Hail Mary at the end. There was definitely some open players there, and it was really exciting. And you could see on both sides, like I said, I was sitting in the box with the McGavick coaches, so, you know, hearing them kind of rallying their defense while, you know, the offensive Laverne was trying to drive down the field to have a game-winning miracle there.
I'm proud of you, Lance, for doing that and taking that on and cheering on my McGavick Raiders side. Did you tell the guys I was proud of them or no?
Yeah, I told them they're stoked about it. They can't wait to see you. and a little self-report for you guys. When I played high school football, I was the captain of the worst team in our school's history. Finished 3-7 back-to-back years. So part of me was kind of, you know what, a 3-7 team getting into the playoffs would have kind of hurt my soul a little bit because I never was able to make the playoffs. So I had to share that with you guys.
Oh, man, that's great. Hey, Lance, thanks for your work tonight, man. We appreciate covering a really important game for tonight. So thank you.
All right, guys. Well, I can't wait for playoffs, and I hope you have a great night, guys.
All right. See, let's go back to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Our man, Junie Riddle, at the Mount Juliet Green Hill game. Junie, you've got chaos over there. What you got, man?
Guys, this game is absolutely bananas. Highlights all over the place. After a stagnant third quarter, this fourth quarter has been nothing but electric. As soon as Green Hill had drove down and it seemed like they were going to kick a field goal to take the slight lead of 15-13, it was blocked by Darius Morton, who picked it up and returned it for a touchdown. Green Hill got the ball back on the first play. Cade Mahoney, the quarterback, fumbled the ball, which led to another Darius Morton touchdown as they put the running back in the Wildcat formation, who scored three plays later. And it seemed like it was all over. Green Hill, on the first play of the following drive, threw a slant route to Sean Aldridge for 60 yards, and it put them down inside the red zone. Then Cade Mahoney takes in the run for a touchdown, and we now have a 26-19 game. After the beginning of the fourth quarter, it was only a 13-12 lead for Mount Juliet. Right now, Mount Juliet just got the ball, ran for a first down with about 3:17 left in the game. So if they have an opportunity here to run the clock out, if they keep getting first downs, but Green Hill needs a serious stop if they want to pull another double-digit comeback to beat Mount Juliet for the second year in a row.
All right, Junie, well, let's get back to the action, man. Call us back when something else happens. Appreciate you, man.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I'm watching on TV right now, but if you're in the car, it doesn't mean anything. But there's a exactly. lot of excitement that's going on right there and watching that. So that's really cool. And I'm looking at more scores that are popping in right now that are happening. Brentwood has beaten Centennial 15-9. Ravenwood wins. So, Elijah, who takes that region? Ravenwood?
I believe so. Let me pull up my sheet here again. So Brentwood 15-9 over Centennial. That's kind of a surprising one. It's only Centennial's second loss of the year. So Brentwood beat Centennial. They needed Independence to beat Ravenwood. That did not happen. I have it all. Yeah. How Ravenwood wins. They beat Independence. Brentwood beat Centennial. Yep. So Ravenwood is your region champ. Brentwood will be second. Trying to look who won the game between Centennial and Centennial and Independence. I think that was Independence earlier this year. So that means Independence will be third, and Centennial will, at 8-2, will be fourth in the region.
Oh, my goodness. You did that so fast. I'm looking, I'm like, there's no way I can figure this out. So there you go. We have it right there. Great job.
That is insane. Wow. So which means they will have to travel, more than likely, Centennial will, to Bartlett or Houston, whoever ended up winning that region in Region 8, a loaded Region 8 6A, they'll have to go on the road out west, close to Memphis, to either play either Bartlett or Houston, it looks like, depending on some of the results over there tonight.
All right, fantastic. All right, we'll take another break, and we got more to come, man. We got still some more chaos left to happen right now. This is the Game Blitz. We're with you till midnight tonight right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the Game, brought to you by National Playmakers Academy and our friends at Apple Collision Center. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz right here at 102.5, 106.3 of the Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. We have a minute and a half to go in the game. Mount Juliet now leads Green Hill 26-19. We'll keep you up to date on what happens there that's going on. Another big game happened tonight. Smith County knocked off East Nashville, Elijah. And you talked earlier about the atmosphere at East in Smith County. What a tough game. What a tough place that is to play. Smith County gets the win tonight. Let's bring in our man Rusty, who's covering the game tonight. Rusty, what's up, man? And how was this game tonight?
What's up, Joe? Man, I have to say, that's probably the best high school football game I've seen doing this job. Just the atmosphere was electric, had every bit the feel of a region championship game, had every bit the feel of a playoff game. And, not to get too ahead of anybody, I 100% believe this is a matchup we could very well see a few weeks down the road here. Just an incredible effort all around by Smith County. Their offensive line did an incredible job, really just setting the line of scrimmage, controlling it, and forcing East Nashville to play their game. I thought it was interesting in the first half. East Nashville, whenever they were able to get to the edges, they had a lot of success. Whenever they went up the middle, just they couldn't find much space, would maybe get 2-3 yards. I really thought they would go back to the edges a lot in the second half, and it felt like when Traquan Waters broke that long 67-yard touchdown run that I texted Elijah about, it really felt like at that moment East Nashville had a chance to take over the game. But credit to head coach Matt Dyer in Smith County. They stayed in it. They battled. And just a gritty, gritty effort by freshman quarterback Caden Powell. He's gotten better every game this year. He's shown poise in all of the big situations. This is a game where Smith County earned their stripes. This was a statement game for the Owls tonight.
Talking to Rusty Ellis in the Upper Cumberland Reporter, he was at the thrilling 15-14 game that Smith County won tonight to steal the region from East Nashville. And Rusty, we talked about it on this show too. We've talked about this game a lot where, you know, going into tonight, East Nashville, we talked about a lot because of the teams they've beat. They've been in the spotlight a ton this year, and Smith County's kind of been under the radar, winning a lot of games, staying in there, creeping in there. And then when they got their shot, they took advantage of it. But how did defensively they stop this East Nashville offense? Because for most of the year, East Nashville has been a well-oiled machine through the air and on the ground.
Well, I want to say this. I don't know that this was a bad game by East Nashville. More so, I think that Smith County, again, just kind of forced East Nashville to play their style of game. The penetration on the offensive line that, you know, that the Owls front seven was able to get, that was the big key. I mean, and it was said early on, there was a fourth down in the first quarter where, you know, fourth and one, East Nashville's probably lined up and run this kind of play several times this year. They've run it hundreds of times in practice. And Smith County just gets incredible push at the line, and they break through for a three-yard loss and get the ball, you know, deep in East Nashville territory. You know, really, again, this is just something that Smith County's done all year. They do not stray away from what makes them successful. And what's made them successful, especially on defense, is they don't get beat over the top hardly at all very often. They get pressure at the line of scrimmage, and their guys in between do a great job covering. I mean, it sounds cliche. That's just what Smith County has done all year. And, you know, credit to East Nashville. Again, they didn't play a bad game, and I see why this team has gotten the amount of hype they've gotten. This East Nashville team is going to be one to be reckoned with in the playoffs.
Last one for me, Rusty. You mentioned that we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, obviously. Anything can happen. We've got a lot of shockers tonight already that kind of prove that point. But if we are to see these two teams in the playoffs again, what's one thing that East Nashville would have to do just to be able to get over the hump against the Smith County team? Because if they do meet again, it will have to be in Carthage.
Yeah, and I can tell you after seeing the black hole in action tonight, oh, my goodness. I don't like any team's chances going in there having to play a playoff game with that rabid fan base. As far as what East Nashville can do better, I mean, getting their playmakers in space is one thing. Really, I just feel like they didn't give Zach Beard enough time. Didn't really feel like they gave him enough time. I feel like the offensive line broke down a couple times and didn't really give him all the best time in the world to throw. When he had time to throw, I felt like he was able to make good throws against Smith County's defense, kind of take what they would give him. They didn't really beat him over the top hardly at all, but he was able to get them in that, you know, that 10 to 15 yard range, was able to get some momentum going downfield. Run game as well, outside of that big run, it didn't feel like East Nashville was really able to get anything going in the run game. And the last thing I'll tell you, Elijah, and I don't know if I told you about this, early in the game, East Nashville had just a pass out into the flat that went 60 plus yards for a touchdown, came back because of a block in the back on the other side of the field. Discipline is one of the most important things, especially in playoff football. And you don't play discipline, a call like that can end up costing you a game. And in a one-point game tonight, that's very much what did it.
Wow. One of the games of the night. Rusty Ellis, the Upper Cumberland Reporter, was there. Rusty, thanks for the report, man. Great stuff, and excited to be talking to you here next week whenever we get to playoff time. Thanks for joining us, man.
Absolutely, fellas. Y'all take it easy.
Great stuff from my man Rusty. So we go from one MTSU, famous MTSU journalism alum, to another, my man Marthony, who was unfortunately not as close of a game as Rusty was tonight. He was at Oakland and Rockvale. Oakland having a statement win as they're the region champs in that region. Rockvale, with the news of Riverdale beating Stewart's Creek tonight, I believe eliminates them from playoff contention. We bring Marthony on right now. Marthony, thanks for joining us, man. And it was a blowout at halftime. How did the second half kind of shake out?
The second half kind of slowed down a bit. A lot of chippiness as far as like penalties and everything. Oakland had a few touchdowns that actually got called back for flags. But the final score ended up being 49-7. Oakland came out on top of on Rockville. Rockville got a late fourth quarter touchdown, and that pretty much summed up the second half. There was just still pretty dominated by Oakland.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it seemed like too, keeping up with the scores throughout the game as well. But your overall, because Oakland's going to be in the playoffs, obviously they're a buzzsaw. They had the loss to CPA a couple of weeks ago, but when you saw them tonight, exactly like how would you say, would you declare Oakland as back?
Definitely. I mean, you mentioned since the loss to CPA, they outscored their opponents 160-13. That's including that the shutout last week, holding Riverdale just 6 points, and then that late fourth quarter touchdown here with Rockville. So 160-13. Obviously, that CPA loss pretty much woke up this Oakland Patriots team. And sitting after the game, talking to Coach Creasy for a minute, it was senior night, so the guys were pretty excited, kind of also a little bittersweet because it was their last regular season home game. But now they know that the playoffs coming, it's another season. And I can hear some of the seniors talking. They were like, they're ready to go. They're trying to get a three-peat. This senior class have had a lot of success, a lot of winning. Not too many times they've lost a game. So they're hyped up, they're ready to go. And they know now that the real season starts here next week in November.
Mm-hmm. Last thing for me, Marathon, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you ranking the uniforms they wore out tonight? It gave a lot of Ole Miss vibes when I saw it on Twitter, but how definitely, do they look style-wise?
Those uniforms are clean. I was getting the Ole Miss vibes as well, too. The guys were pretty excited, decking it out. The powder, the baby blue was definitely looking nice out there on the field for them. And you can kind of tell that, which Oakland kind of already has the swag to themselves anyway, but the uniforms just kind of took it over the top. They definitely had that swag out there on the field tonight.
I love it. Marathony, thanks for joining us, man. Looking forward to talking to you again next week.
Yes, sir.
Marathony Sanders, great stuff from him. Before we hit to the break, too, we'll go ahead and get back to our man, Junie Riddle, now that we believe to have a final in the Mount Juliet Green Hill game. Last we heard from him, we had an insane turn of events that actually resulted in a ton of points in the fourth quarter. Junie, how did everything shake out?
Guys, it shook out, unfortunately, not as exciting as it was throughout the entire fourth quarter. Simply speaking here, Mount Juliet got the ball, and their running game was humming all second half, and they just simply ran out the clock. I mean, there was a third down and 5 that if Green Hill would have got a stop, they would have gotten another opportunity. But they kept giving the ball to Darius Morton, number 7, all night long. This kid was making plays all over the field. He had an interception. He had that turned the momentum of this game. He had a punt block. He had about 2 rushing touchdowns. So this kid absolutely dominated in all facets. I mean, these two teams were so equally matched. And if you had watched the entire game through the third quarter, you would probably think that Green Hill had the lead or it simply was the better team. But with two special teams touchdowns, the opening kickoff going for a TD for the Mount Juliet Bears, and then that field goal block to where Green Hill was going to go up 2 points, 15-13, but instead it was blocked by that man, Darius Morton, who returned it for a touchdown. And since then, it was really all Mount Juliet because they just held control of that game. It seemed like Green Hill was finally frazzled by something that they had done. They had gotten past that opening kickoff, but ever since that field goal block, it just completely turned the table of the game. Cade Mahoney fumbled on that first play when they had gotten the ball back, and then they had scored again. And the Green Hills Hawks had a really great drive to go down there and cut the score to 7. But I mean, this Mount Juliet offense and the running game just was just too much in the end. and they closed it out with a final score of 26-19.
Wow. One more for me, Junie. I mean, the theme that I got from tonight was a lot of red zone stops, and holding Green Hill to field goals really was one of the differences in this game for Mount Juliet. A lot of bend but don't break, give up a lot of yards, but not a lot of points. How would you assess the red zone defense for Mount Juliet? How crucial was that in the result?
I mean, their red zone defense was just flat out phenomenal. I mean, the way Green Hills was running their offense, a lot of motion, a lot of trickery, a lot of quick screens and using their athletes to get them in open space. I mean, the way they would line up in their formations, it really did remind me of kind of what the University of Tennessee does, and the way that they spread the receivers out very wide and kind of stack them on top of each other to create quick blocks and quick passes and tunnel screens and all that stuff. And on top of that, this kid, Cade Mahoney, again, he did have a crucial fumble, but, I mean, without this kid, they would not have been in this game. I mean, his mobility really did create a lot of this offense. But, again, you know, without the space and them getting in the red zone, and it just really shortened the field and limited what they could do, the Mount Juliet defense absolutely capitalized on those situations when they were you know, basically facing a do or die moment on saving a touchdown or not. And plenty of times, Coach Perry's team stepped up and held Green Hill from scoring and taking the lead in the second half.
Junie, I know you've done a great job the regular season, but now the fun begins because it's playoff next week, brother. You ready?
Oh, I'm so ready for this, Joe, man. Listen, all these big-time matchups, I've seen so many of these playoff teams, and I'm so excited to see some new matchups, some rematches of some close games that happened. Like, if these two teams play again, I absolutely want to be here for that, and whether it's Page and Nolansville or Oakland going up against another powerhouse in 6A. I mean, there's just so many matchups all across the state. I mean, we're talking about East Nashville, how they were undefeated, and they've been sliding a little bit in 3A. Can they bounce back? There's so many teams with so much talent around this state. It is such a blessing to be able to cover such great high school football in such a prominent area for this game.
Well done, Junie Riddle. We'll talk next week about where you're going to go and everything else. Really appreciate your update and your passion for this, man. Thank you, brother.
Absolutely, guys. My car alarm is currently going off. I apologize if you heard that. But you all have a great rest of your night, and you keep killing this show, guys. I mean, the fans are loving it. They keep talking to you about how much it means to the fans. They come up to me every single game talking about you guys and how you put this sport and these kids in the limelight. So, you know, It's such an honor to be able to do this with y'all.
Well done. Stop breaking in cars. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, brother.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
All right. That's Junie Riddle covering the Mount Juliet Green Hill game. All right. We're done with hour number four. Two more hours to go. Coming up next, it's the scoreboard update, top and bottom of the hour. All the scores for you. We're going to start getting some of these coaches calling in. We still got two more hours. A lot of fun. You listen to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.